Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Vav, and we will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Daf Kuf Samach Hey Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Tan Rabbanan. If there's a shtar that says that someone owes somebody to have gold, so we say Ein Pachs within the have. It's not clear exactly how much is owed, but we assume it means at least one gold piece. If it says the have dinrin, then we say what it certainly means is dinrin the have. It means ein pachs mishnei dinrin the have, at least two gold dinrin. The have bid dinrin, ein pachs mishnei dinrin kesef. It means that he owes the value of two silver dinrin to be paid in the have in gold. And the Gemara analyzes this price. It begins the Gemara Amamar. We just learned if it says the have, the definition is ein pachas midina the have. It's not less than one dinner. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying that it's at least a dinner, a manaska? Why don't we say that he meant a piece of gold? And a piece of gold can even be worth less than a dinner zav. And again, the principle operating behind these Gemaras is that Yad Baal Shtar Al Tachtoino, Hamotz Mechavera Olav Araya. And until you could prove that it means more, we always say it means less. Amma Rebbe Lazar, fair question. But says Rebbe Lazar, the reason it can't mean just a gold piece, because the Kosov, the Shtar clearly indicates that he's giving him a Matbeya, that he owes a coin, and therefore it can't just mean a gold piece. So ask the Gemara Ve'ema Priti, maybe it means a pruta of gold, and a pruta of gold obviously is worth less than a dinner of gold. Answers the Gemara, Priti the Hava, gold prutim le'avdi inchin. They don't make prutas out of gold. Continues the Gemara, we learned, if it says in the shtar, Zahav bedinrim, so we learned it means ein pachs mishnei dinarim kesef, which means at least the value of two dinarim of silver, zahav, to be paid in gold. Ask the Gemara Ve'ema, why do we say that it means dinre? Why don't we say that the dinrim means dinre zahav? And the reason he used the word zahav bedinrim is to tell us that he's agreeing to pay the value of two gold dinrim, but he doesn't have to pay it as two gold dinrim. He could pay it to have a pricha. He could pay it off with broken pieces of gold. And what he means is, betray dinri to have a kamar. What he means to say is, I'm going to give pieces of gold equal to the value. I'm going to give pieces of gold equal to the value of two gold dinarim. Answers the Gemara. Maybe Itaka means that. But again, going back to what we've been learning, and we've been learning Amar Baya, that Yad Baal Shtal Tachtoina, the mouth is always in the weaker hand. Hamaitzi Mechaveroi Olav Araya. So unless he could effectively prove that that's what it means, we're going to say that it means the lower amount versus a higher amount. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's what we're saying, that we're going to always apply the concept of Yad Baal Ashtar Al Tachtoino, so ask the Gemara, Reish Nami, at the end of our previous year, we learned in the Braisim, that we said that if somebody said Kesef bin Inorim, we said what the way we define it to mean is that he has to give Dinrei Kesef in the value of two dinrei zav, which is obviously a significant amount of money. So ask the Gemara, based on what we're learning now, why don't we say that he has to give only the value of two silver dinarim to be paid in silver prices? And the same thing will say that when he said dahav dinarim or dinarim dahav, we're going to say that why we're saying he has to give gold coins, maybe we should say that he has to give gold in the value of, he has to give pay with gold, but only the value of silver coins. Answers the Gemara, fair question. But says the Gemara, Amar Ravashi, there's a difference between when the word dinri was used versus when the word dinarim was used. Reisha, the Reisha speaking about a case, the kasev dinari. The word dinari, says the Gemara, speaks about gold. And therefore, since it means gold coins, we can't say that it means silver coins. Sefer, the kasev dinarim, when it says in the sefer dinarim, dinarim represent silver coins and not gold coins. This is the way Rashbam learns the Gemara. Of course, Tosfos learns the Gemara differently. He says that the word dinarim could refer to silver coins or to gold coins. And since, as we've been saying, there's a rule that Yad Baal Shtal Techtoina, the Malva, is always in the weaker position, we always say it means dinarim shel kesef, silver coins. But the word dinri can mean only gold. And therefore, we have no other way to explain dinari as to explain it that it means gold coins. A woman who has a baby has to bring a keves, a sheep for carbon oila, v'tar o ben yoina, a bird for carbon chatas. If she cannot afford to bring the keves, the sheep, then she brings two birds, one for carbon chatas, one for carbon oila. And this is what is always known in Shas as a kan. A kan means a pair. We're going to Mitzvah Shem learn Mesech Tekinim. The halacha is, until she brings her carbon, she may not eat kachim. There's another halacha, midaraisa, and I emphasize that this is a din midaraisa. This is not as Hilchas Taharos HaMishpacha is followed b'zman hazeh. But the halacha is that a woman's life, according to midaraisa, is a cycle of 7 days and 11 days. During the 7 days, a woman can become a nida. The halacha midaraisa is that if a woman becomes a nida, she has to have 7 days. Those 7 days don't have to be 7 days in which she's clean all 7 days. She doesn't have to have Zayin Nekiyim. She just has to wait 7 days. And if at the end of 7 days she's no longer seeing dam, she goes to the mikveh and she's fine. Then begins the cycle of 11 days. And if a woman sees dam for 3 consecutive days during that 11-day period, she becomes a Zava Gedoyla. And the halach is that a Zava Gedoyla has to bring a carbon Zava, which are two toirim, one for Oila, one for Chattis. And here too, she may not eat kachim until she brings a carbon. If there's a woman who is not quite sure if she was truly pregnant and she miscarried, that the halacha is she has to bring these karbonis, or maybe what she miscarried doesn't have the status of a fetus and she doesn't have to bring a carbon. And the same thing, this woman is not sure when she had this 3-day riyah, 3 consecutive days that she saw dam, but were they during the nida time? And if they were during the nida time, as we just said, she just has to finish 7 days and be clean and be able to go to the mikvah, or were they during the ziva days? The halacha is that she could bring a carbon chatos. Certainly she could bring a carbon oila, because the carbon oila, she could say that if I'm obligated to bring the carbon oila, so I'm bringing a carbon oila. If I'm not obligated to bring the carbon oila, then it should be a nedava. The issue is what's going to be the halacha regarding the carbon chatas. So what is unique in this situation, as we've often discussed in our shiurim, you cannot bring a carbon chatas as a nedava. But here it's very different, because a carbon chatas ha'oif is different than all other carbon chatas. A carbon chatas ha'oif is a bird, and it could be brought to Safik. However, there's the way a carbon oif is brought is very different than the way if somebody wants to eat a bird, it's brought. If somebody wants to eat a bird, he has to shech the bird. If a carbon oif that's brought, the way the kayin slaughters the bird is through malika. But malika is an invalid shechita. If somebody would want to eat a bird and would kill the bird with malika, it would not be allowed to be eaten. So when somebody brings a carbon chatas ha'oif in a situation as we just described, misafik, you bring the chatas ha'oif, there is no problem in bringing the chatas ha'oif, but it won't be able to be eaten because you did malika, and if it's a carbon we were chayiv to bring, great. But if it's a chayiv carbon that we weren't obligated to bring, we killed it in a way that you may not eat that bird. So, therefore, that carbon chatas is not eaten when it's brought misafik, it's burnt. So, our Gemara just differentiated between dinrei and the norm. Says the Gemara, menot temra, from where do we see that there is such a distinction? The Shani bein dinrei le dinorim, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Krisis teaches us, she'isha shayla safek chamesh leidus, a woman who miscarried 5 times, and we don't know if it was a fetus that she miscarried, or was it a real baby, or a woman who had safek chamesh zivus, as we just described, she is not sure, was she a zava 5 times and she's chayv a carbon each time or not. The halacha is, mevi'a carbon echad, for all of these cases, she'll only bring one bird for carbon chatas, one bird for carbon oila. And as we said, the carbon oila is always burnt, and this carbon chatas, because of the unique circumstances that we described, is also burnt. And, v'chel spesvachim, once she brought this pear, she'll be allowed to eat karbonos, v'ena shar le'chayva, and she doesn't have to bring any more karbonos. One set of karbonos, the halacha is enough. And the way the Rambam explains, because we don't know if she's chayiv in these karbonos, and since we're not sure that she's chayiv in the karbonos, so we have a dilemma, says the Rambam. On one hand, we're not sure if she's chayiv in the karbonos. And since we're not sure if she's chayiv in the karbonos, we don't want to bring many karbonos that she's not obligated to bring. On the other hand, we do want to let her bring at least one pair of karbonos in order that she should be able to eat kachim. Because if she's chayiv to bring the carbon, until she brings it, she wouldn't be able to eat kachim. So the way the Rambam describes it, it means that she should not bring more than one carbon. Ask Rav Shach Zatzal in his Sefer Avi Ezri, but that's not the wording of our Gemara. The wording of our Gemara is v'ein hashar lo yechoyva, she's not obligated to bring more than one pair. But if she would want to bring more than one pair, it seems that she may do so. So how does the Rambam understand our Gemara? So says Rav Shach as follows, that there's in a case where the carbon, the halacha is that when she's a mechusa carbon, and the halacha is that she maybe did an aveira, and she therefore has to bring a carbon. The halacha is that if she has a safik, she only has to bring a carbon chatas if she knows that she did an aveira. So says the Rambam, if I don't know for sure that she did an aveira, so the halacha is that she shouldn't bring a carbon, because a carbon is only brought when you know she did an aveira. But we have the dilemma that we've been discussing, the dilemma that if she is not going to bring the carbon, and she's maybe obligated to bring the carbon, it will prevent her from being able to eat kachim. So we don't have a choice but to let her bring one pair, but one pair and only one pair should be brought. Says Rav Shach Zatzal, that's in the case where carbon is being brought because of an aveira. In our Gemara,
the carbon is not being brought because of an aveira. The woman who had a baby, the woman who became a zava, didn't do any aveira. The carbon that she's bringing is because the Torah says that when you are in this situation, you have to bring a carbon. So there, the carbon chattis is not a kapara. Where the carbon chattis is a kapara, so you only bring a kapara if you did an aveira. And if you don't know if you did an aveira, you don't bring that kapara. But when the carbon is not serving a kapara, as is the case of our Gemara, because it's only being brought because she, Baruch Hashem, or maybe Baruch Hashem, had a baby, their halacha is, the Gemara says, that she has to bring one pair. Vashar, she doesn't have to bring, but she may bring. But, continues the Gemara, she certainly had five babies, or she certainly was a zava for five times. So the halacha is, in order for her to be able to eat kachim, she has to bring one carbon, but she has the obligation to bring the rest. But says the Gemara, mass of the kinim b'shlayim b'din reizov, the price of kinim went up very much. And the price of a kian, of these two birds, was two din reizov. Amar of Shem Gamliel. So women, it was very prohibitive to bring kabanas. So Amar of Shem Gamliel, Haman hazeh, I make a shvua, em olon halayla, if I will rest, at shehei bedinrin, until it goes down to dinri. So we see here what's relevant to our shir, the difference between dinri, which is zav, and dinrim are kesef. And nichnas lebezden v'limeid, he walked in to Bezden and he taught, he shishoyel ha'chamesh leidus vados, a woman who certainly had five babies, Baruch Hashem, chamesh zivus vados, so she was certainly a zava five times, mevi'i karban echad v'chels b'zvachim, v'ein ha'shar la'chayva. So the amount of kabanas that were obligated to be brought dropped tremendously. And vam de kinim by b'yoyim, and the price of kinim that day dropped revasayim by a quarter. The Rishonim debate, how was Rav Shimon Gamliel allowed to make such an announcement if it's against the halacha? Says the Rashbam that Rabbi Kiva's opinion actually is that in the case where a woman is chayav five kabanas, bringing one set is sufficient. That's why he says, I paskin like Rav Gamliel. Rabbi Natam says that what he meant to say was not that she's exempt from bringing the rest of the kabanas, but what he meant to say was he stressed the part that she's going to be able to eat kachim right away. And that was what was pushing the women, obviously, to bring the kabanas. They used to come by the time of Yom Tovim, where the families ate from the kabanas that were brought. And her main concern, says Rabbi Natan, was that she'd be able to eat kabanas. And the fact that he emphasized that she, once only one pair is brought, she could eat for the kabanas, that was enough to drop the price. The Ritva says that what Rav Shimon Gamliel did was he made such a threat. He said to the people who sold birds, this is an announcement that I'm going to make. And if I make this announcement, you're going to see what's going to happen to you, so be fair in the pricing. Rashi Masechta Kareisa says that there's a concept that we find of Eis Lasis Lashem Heferet Teresecha. When Chazal see there's a need to do something, they do what they need to do. And Rav Shimon Gamliel was concerned that because of the exorbitant prices of birds, people would stop coming to bring the kabanas, maybe eat kachim without having brought a kabanas. So in order to make it a more reasonable price, and by making it a more reasonable price, that will cause people to not bring the kabanas that they're obligated to bring. That was what he was intending to do. And Aruch Haner explains that that's shot in this whole Gemara. He says that they came in the time of Aliyah L'Ragel, and there was a concern about ta'achar, that kabbalists that they were obligated to bring, they should bring in a timely fashion. And that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel made an announcement. There's a very famous tshuva from the Shalos Tshuvos, Tzemach Tzedek, quoted by the Magen Avraham, used by this Gemara. He says that at one point, the Nachrim, who sold fish and knew how Klal Yisrael are so anxious to be Mechabit Shabbos, and therefore they took advantage and they raised the price of fish, and they made an announcement that for the next 2 months, nobody should buy fish for Shabbos, to force the price of fish to go down. And the Tzemach Tzedek quotes our Gemara, where the price of the birds were exorbitant, and therefore he made the rule that they'll only have to bring one pair. Some disagree with the Tzemach Tzedek, because they, for a number of reasons. Number one, the Gemara says that anything everything that we are supposed to earn is predestined on Rosh Hashanah, chutz mitzah Shabbos for Yontif. And whatever we spend for Shabbos, as expensive as it will be, we'll get back. Others say you can't compare the two, because as we learned, there's some Rishonim that explained in our Gemara, all that he was trying to accomplish was that he should make a threat, or that they'll still be obligated ultimately to bring the kabbanis. The fish that you miss one Shabbos, you can never make up. Here, you could bring the kabbanis at a later date. Here, that you can't make that up. And therefore, the Paiskim discuss what is the halacha. The Mishnah Berura says that we could only make such a rule if the price is a third more than they were. Prima Gadim and Eliyahu Rabba say, no, that you could always, if the Chachamim see that we are being taken advantage, and you don't only have to eat fish, you don't have to eat fish to have an Oinig Shabbos, you can eat other foods to have an Oinig Shabbos, and therefore, he says that if the people, the Rabbonim, see that such a takana is in place, then the halacha is that you shouldn't, that they can make such a rule. The Shalos Tshuvos Beis Yehuda asks, so if they're taking advantage of the Jewish customers who are buying fish, can you send an akum to buy fish on your behalf? And really speaks to a question that often comes up in Shas. Is there shlichus lakum? Can an akum serve as a shliach? And what the Beis Lechem Yehuda says is that we're machmer l'chumra, that they could be considered shlichim. And since l'chumra we have to be concerned that they're considered shlichim, we shouldn't even use a nachri to beat the system to get them to buy the fish on our behalf, if there's a rule not to buy fish. We learned in the Mishnah, Kasim al Malaman Mana, if on the top at the beginning of the shtar it says 100, on the bottom 200, or vice versa, the Mishnah Paskin Hakel Hoylich Acha Tachten. So the Mishnah itself asked, if everything is learned from the bottom of the shtar, why do we need the information on the top? So the Mishnah said that if there's a letter erased on the bottom, we'll now have what to know what to do based on what it says at the beginning of the shtar. Tarabanan Yilma Tachten Me'elyon. When can we learn if there's a missing letter on the bottom from what it says on the top? But Ois Achas, if there's one letter not discernible on the bottom, Ava Loibishtei Oisius, if one letter is missing, then the halacha is we could use the top as a reference. Two letters, not. And the Gemara gives an example. Kigoyim, the bottom, on the bottom of Shtar, it says Chanan, which it's missing the letter Yud from Chanani, which it says on the top of the Shtar. Or on the bottom of the Shtar, it says the word Onon, which is missing a letter from the word Anani. The Yerushalmi has an interesting question. What's going to be the halacha if there's one letter different on the top and one letter different on the bottom? And the question the Yerushalmi asks is that now we have a total of two letters. Do we look at each letter, since they're written in different parts of the shtar, as two separate letters, or do we combine the two letters? The Taisa says that even though we're learning, and we're going to continue learning now, when we can and when we can't, but says Taisus, that's only when we're talking, as we're learning, about a name. But if there's a different, if the number that's in question is not clear on the bottom, then we can't rely on what it says on the top for that, for the number. Says the Gemara, Mashna shtei oisus d'loi, why can't we use two letters to learn from the top of the shtar? Because, says the Gemara, Dimam Sram Shem ben Abar Osius, maybe there's a name of four that's entirely four letters. And if two letters are not there, Havalei Palga Deshma, that means half the name is missing from the bottom of the shtar. So ask the Gemara Yochi, if that's the case, Oisachas Nami, even if there's only one letter missing, Dilma Misram Shem Mishtei Osius. Maybe you have a name with only two letters. And if we're concerned that if the discrepancy is about half the name, Havle Pal Gedishma, half the name is missing. Says the Gemara, El Shtei Osius, why do we differentiate between two-letter discrepancy, that it's a problem, and a one-letter discrepancy we could deal with? Haina Talmud, Dimli Misra Mishen Ben Sholosh Osius, for we need to be concerned, maybe the name is made up of three letters, Vavalei Ruba Deshma, and two letters are the majority of the name. But if it's one letter can never be the majority of a name. Says the Gemara Amarava, Pshitali, it is obvious to me that if on the top of the shtar it says the word Sefel, Mimala, and it says on the bottom of the shtar, Kefel Mimata. So what do we do? So it says the Gemara Hakol Hoylech Acha Hataknam. We follow what it says at the bottom of the shtar. So the Rashbam explains what is the difference between Sefel and Kefel. Sefel, says the Rashbam, means a basin, a pail that we wash from. And Kefel refers to a garment. But the Rishonim point out that according to the Rashbam, I'm not exactly sure what is more significant, a Sefel or a Kefel. And therefore the Rashbam brings another pshat, that a Sefel is the amount of a saw and a half, and a Kefel is a kav and a half. So we're talking about measurements, and the Kefel is clearly less than the Sefel. Baira papa, Kefel mamal, a Sefel mamata. Ma, mich shinin lezvuv. Do we have to be concerned that what happened was that on the bottom it also said, then on the bottom it also said the word Kefel, and just what happened was there was an ant that fell while the ink was wet, and it made it into a samach, and therefore maybe it should be a sefel, oiloi, or we need not be concerned with that. And the Gemara says that in such a situation, since we don't know what to do, the halacha is that it remains a teiku, we don't know that we don't. So the Nesivus asks, why are we only concerned about a zvuv? What's the chances that a fly fell here? Why don't we say that the malva erased it? So he says that a soifer doesn't give up the shtar until it's dry. So the malva, he only gets the document when it's dry, and if he's going to try to play around with it, it's going to be obvious. But the fly could come at any time. The Cheshukei Chema discusses a question where there is a ksuba, and the name of the kala is Kreindel, but at the end of the ksuba, it doesn't say the word Kreindel, it says Sreindel. And the question is, who is the kala? So he quotes a tshuva from the Ginus Varadim. And the Ginus Varadim says that he speaks about Gittin. And anybody who's ever learned Hilchos Gittin knows that the names in a get are very critical. And sometimes there could be a name in the get that is not correct. How do we look at that get? So he says that even in a get, if the name is written more than once in a certain way, even though in another way it was written improperly, it doesn't disqualify the get. So certainly over here, the halacha was that we don't have to be concerned that if the name of the kala who's holding the ksuba is indeed Kreindl, if that's her name, and there's we just, as the Gemara said, these types of mistakes do sometimes happen, we could be lenient. Hahu davakasabe, there was a star in which it was written, Shit Meya Vezuza. So the question is, what type of coin was meant on the 600? Shalchor Sheriff Shavya Kameda Abaya. The question was asked to Abaya, and Abaya said, it means Sishmit Istri Vezuza. It means 600 sloim, that each seller is worth 25 zuz, and one more zuz. Oy Dilma, do we say, what was meant was Shitmei Prita, 600 pritim and a zuza, which is, of course, much less. Amlei, dal priti. Nobody, he said, uses the word prita in a shtar. Das suchi misachin leho. Because prutis, the way I understand the Gemara, is like pennies. Nobody, when they're mentioning currency, counts pennies. So if you were going to say 600 pennies, you wouldn't say 600 pennies. You would say, tick, $6. So if it says something in 600, it must be a coin or a currency that's always counted independently, and it must be Zuzi. Says the Gemara, May Amrit, what are you going to say? L'sheish mesh istri v'zuza? Maybe you should say that it means 600 zuzim, sloim, which is even more. For that, we don't say that, because Yad Ba'al Shtal HaTachtoina. So we take it to a currency that is mentioned, but we take it to the lowest currency, the lowest value currency that is ever mentioned.